We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Time once again for Writer's Row on the Crimson Tide Sports Network as we catch up with a beat writer following the Crimson Tide football team. And today we're visiting with Mike Rodak of AL.com. And Mike, it's great to see you. How's everything going as we're only 1 week deep into the 2021 season?
Yeah, it feels like we're already in the middle of things again. It's a busy week around here, but that's football season for you.
It certainly is. Alabama started the season with a 44-13 win against Miami in Atlanta. For you, what were some questions on your mind entering the game, and did Alabama kind of answer any of those questions?
Yeah, and I think the questions that were on my mind are probably the same that were on Nick Saban's mind. I mean, he was pretty open about it, that he didn't know how this offense would look with all the new faces along the offensive line and obviously a receiver, running back, quarterback, and I think it exceeded his expectations. I think it exceeded mine as well. I was expecting, you know, them to ease into it a little bit more. And I think the first throw that Bryce Young had was deep down the field. And that sort of set the tone for how they felt about some of the players out there and what they're capable of doing. And, you know, even though they didn't connect on that throw, obviously they were able to you know, make that long touchdown later between Bryce and Jameson Williams. So that was really the biggest takeaway for me, was just seeing how quickly those guys were able to assimilate into this offensive system, which, by the way, is a new offensive coordinator calling the plays and really almost an entirely new offensive staff as well. So just to see all that come together and to score 44 points and, you know, four touchdowns from Bryce Young, the most out of a quarterback in his debut, I think that exceeded my expectations. And that was the biggest thing that I saw.
Yeah, with Bill O'Brien taking over as the offensive coordinator, you covered the Tide under Steve Sarkisian when he was offensive coordinator. Did you notice a lot of changes between Sark and Coach O'Brien?
Not necessarily. You know, I think Sark actually mentioned in an interview a couple weeks ago that he actually changed some things between year one and year two with him. And so I think, obviously, as we all know, it's operating out of the same playbook, no matter who the coordinator is. And I think depending on who they have at quarterback and what, you know, their strengths might be at receiver and tight end and running back, that's kind of where they might choose the plays out of that playbook and what to do exactly. And I think the way Sark put it is, you know, they did a lot more of the RPO stuff under Tua his first year, and then they went more to the play action shotgun stuff with Mac his second year. And I think we saw a lot of that with Bryce. But I think we'll see, especially going forward, trying to use Bryce's athleticism. Obviously, that's different than what I think Mac gave them. And Mac was athletic, probably more athletic than people give him credit for. But that was another big thing that stood out to me with Bryce was being able to avoid some of that pressure and very quickly, very quick twitch sort of athlete where he could step out of the way and get into some open space, but also keep his eyes down the field. It wasn't as if he got some pressure and he tried to run immediately. I mean, he was getting pressure, going outside the pocket, and then throwing, and throwing hard and throwing accurate. And that was, you know, one of the most impressive things for me.
We figured John Metchie III would be a familiar target. He obviously scored the first touchdown for the Crimson Tide, but Jameson Williams, how does he open up this offense? I mean, that's one 94-yard touchdown was one of the best we saw.
Yeah, it's that speed, and they've been looking for it, obviously, to replace what they've lost the last couple of years, and Henry Ruggs and Jaylen Waddle especially. And so, I mean, that's one of the new realities of college football. They have the opportunity to go out and get one of the fastest guys out there in Jameson Williams and have him play right away. And, you know, it seems like he's from the get-go is really impressing people around there. I think John Metchie even said it this week where it seemed like right away he was fitting in, and it seemed like he could do some big things early. So it's the speed with him. It's going to be the speed down the field that gives him something different than what they have in John Metchie, who's fast, but he's not, you know, super fast track type burner. And obviously Slade Bolden being more of that slot guy gives him some different things for defenses to look at, and it kind of completes that picture. And, you know, I'd be interested to see too with Jameson, just how, I mean, this is his third year. He's eligible for the draft after this year. I mean, he hasn't been a guy who's been talked about a whole lot up until now, but I can imagine if he keeps doing what he's doing, then he's going to be a name that's going to get a lot of attention from NFL scouts.
The offensive line was one area where we were all kind of wondering, what's it going to look like? We kept hearing about some of the injuries and mixing and matching during fall camp, but what did you see out of that group on Saturday?
Yeah, a little bit surprised to see Chris Owens at right tackle after we talked so much about the competition at center between him and Darian Dalcourt. Obviously, Kendall Randolph still working his way back from that ankle injury, probably not 100% quite yet. Was in the game a little bit as a tight end blocker, though. So we'll have to see how they handle that going forward. It seems like they liked what Dalcourt did on Saturday, and you know, maybe he stays in that role. Maybe Chris Owens goes into that tight end role, and they put Kendall Randolph at right tackle. I think there's still some moving parts there, but overall, it seems like they did a pretty good job, especially in the first half. I know, like Nick Saban said, it got a little sloppy, you know, as the game went on. And, you know, some of those runs in the fourth quarter, I think Miami knew exactly what Alabama was trying to do. And, you know, it just wasn't really working out from an offensive standpoint. But that's how it goes. And there's obviously some room for improvement there. But I think Evan Neal, I think we all saw that highlight play where he knocked the guy over. You think you're going to get a lot of those out of him this year. And they seem to really like what they have at guard too, in Eki Orr and Javion Cohen.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Defensively, what were your takeaways for Alabama?
They were swarming, and that's, I think, what we expected. Just a little bit, probably a higher tempo, a quicker defense than what they had last year, just with so many faces that have been around, and they know what they're doing, and players who are really used to running in that scheme. It just seemed like they were really fast. They kind of knew what Miami was doing. They were getting after De'Ara King. You never seemed comfortable. You know, maybe it was partly the coming off the knee injury, but you just didn't really seem like he was all that comfortable in the pocket and running around and able to get away from some of those that pressure. So that's the biggest takeaway for me. And I think, you know, Nick Saban mentioned it too, where they had some of those defensive backs that, you know, they maybe lost a couple battles here and there, Brian Branch giving up the touchdown. So, you know, that's, I think, to be expected at this point in the game. Those guys are still pretty young, but I think overall as a secondary, they're probably, you know, a lot further along than they were at this point last year when you had 4 out of 5 new starters. So very promising on defense. Obviously the Chris Allen injury kind of throws a wrench into that, but when you recruit 3 5-star guys behind them, you know, it's just, you kind of, it's the next guy up, and there's some talent behind them. And you know, as good of a player Chris Allen is, I think they're going to be all right at that position.
Now the Crimson Tide at home for the first time this Saturday, welcoming in the Mercer Bears. What are the big storylines for you as we get closer to Saturday?
Yeah, obviously it's a quirky offense. I think it's been talked about a little bit so far this week with the Joker position and kind of what they do that, you know, might be the wishbone or wing tee, I think is the way it's been described. And, you know, it's going to be more of a front seven type of game where you're going to see more defensive linemen in the game. You know, typically Alabama's in this nickel package where there's only two down, you know, defensive linemen. I think we're going to see three of them in the game a lot of this this Saturday. So it's going to be incumbent upon them just to keep the game in front of them. Keep, you know, I think back to the Citadel game, what was it, 3 years ago, where it was just kind of a quirky start to that game. And the Citadel was just running some things that just kind of caught Alabama off guard. And eventually they blew them out. But we just got to get used to what they have to do offensively. So that will be part of it for them. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, offensively, I'm sure we'll see a little bit of Bryce Young, but just to see Paul Tyson in there, to see Jalen Miller, I'm sure we'll see, you know, quite a bit of them. And, you know, it's still, according to Nick Saban, a competition for that number two spot. So that's something to watch as well. Just going forward, if there ever was an injury to Bryce Young, who would be the guy that they feel more comfortable putting in there at quarterback?
Well, of course, you're a member of the Alabama media covering Coach Saban, so you know that he hates questions where you have to compare. But I'm not talking to Coach Saban. I'm talking to Mike Rodeck at the moment. You've covered Nick Saban. You've also covered Bill Belichick before in your time when you were covering the New England Patriots. Just, you know, we know they're good friends. They worked together before, very similar in a lot of ways. But any differences in covering those guys?
Yeah, you know, I've always actually had more success asking Nick Saban about injuries than I did Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick just won't give you anything. And Nick Saban, I mean, he'll give you some details, and I think he's willing to. I don't know what the philosophy is in either case, you know, why they feel like they need to do it either way. But, you know, that's one of the differences. And, you know, I think for Bill, it's just he's not going to give you much. It's just he kind of sits down and might give you a short opening statement and takes a few questions. We all know it's sort of that gruff demeanor when he's answering the questions. I think with Nick, it's more you sort of get a lesson. You know, those first 2 or 3 minutes of a press conference, it's almost like he's talking to his team about what they need to do and a lot of the psychological aspects of where they are. And it gives you some insight that maybe you don't get just covering the Patriots, where it's kind of Fort Knox and you have no idea what they're thinking on a week-to-week basis.
Well, you're covering Alabama for AL.com. You guys have a deep roster of really talented writers. Just what can you tell us about the coverage and what fans can expect when they log on each time?
Yeah, exactly. We have Michael Casagrande and our columnist Joe Goodman. And another thing to look out for that's new is John Talty doing his SEC newsletter each week. That comes out on Thursdays. And I think he really does a great job with that in terms of giving some inside information, not only about Alabama, but, you know, the other schools in the conference. And as we know, Alabama fans like to read about the other schools. They want to know what's going on at Auburn and LSU and all that. So that's a really good read. And I would look out for it on Thursday.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Look forward to seeing you in the press box at Bryant Denny Stadium on Saturday. Thanks again.
You too. Thank you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.